Minnesota United fans, save time every time when you use online check-in for a great haircut at Great Clips. Download our app or check in online at greatclips.com. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
This, Kendra, is where they make their mark.
This is the time where you've got to turn the table. You've got to take advantage and ride this wave in this momentum.
A goal from your man! Catch them if you can!
Hello there and welcome to the Match Preview Podcast. Callum Williams alongside former U of M soccer player Kendra D. St. Aubin. Not really a match preview podcast today though, Kay, with no match forthcoming for Minnesota United until the week after next. It's much more of a review podcast this time. And the subject of review is the addition and perhaps even the subtraction of Minnesota United players today. So we thought we'd bring in the perfect man to help us talk about that very subject, the man who does the deals, technical director of Minnesota United, Mark Watson, joins us. Watto, how are you? Welcome to the pod.
I'm doing great, Cal. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Appreciate you coming on. Really, really do. So before we get into the details, we know there's only so much you can share with us in terms of those details, but, sure. You know, we think you like us, so we can get into a little bit of those details, I'm sure. let's talk about the season so far for Minnesota United. 2 wins, 4 losses, 1 tie. How do you assess what you've seen so far?
I mean, I think the results are pretty clear for everyone to see it. You know, we were not happy with the start of the season. I think it was also fairly obvious we didn't have our group together. So, you know, we can delve into that in more detail in terms of how that played out and the planning side of that. But, you know, it's not been as we'd hoped for. We'd hoped to, while we were getting healthy, you know, we've missed some key players from injury. And while we were waiting for, you know, some really key additions, especially key attacking additions to get here, we were hoping to be a little bit better off. Saying that, you know, after the 4 losses, that's a tough spot to be in. It questions your group, your confidence. I think we know we have a good group of players. I think the group knew that reinforcements were coming, but it's still not a pleasant situation to be in, to be 0-4 to start the season. You never want to wait for that first result or that first win to get going. So, but what I will do is give, you know, everyone in this group, coaching staff, all support staff, and the players a lot of credit. Bounced back with 2 very important wins, and then got a good results, a draw on the road at Salt Lake. So, that showed the group, that showed the strength of group, and that showed the character. You know, we now will, aside from a couple players leaving for Euros, have our signings in. You know, we're healthier. DeBassi's fit, Nico Hansen's fit. And I think we'll get a really good chance to see the additions in Adrian Hunu and Franco Pregapani to the group. I think, you know, we wouldn't have preferred the slow start, but I think we're on a really good path and we're looking forward to the rest of the season.
And Wado, you talk about the slow start and you've been in the locker room as a player and a coach. How challenging is that to really keep the group together and to keep the spirits high? Because we hear Adrian, he talk about it. And of course you want the mentality to be positive, but how difficult is it really when you start off that way and to get the results in the next 2 games that you guys did?
Yeah. So let me just say first that, you know, we're 0-4, but we weren't an 0-4 team. And there's no one that said that, hey, we went into those 4 games and we got blown out. Like, we're getting killed. This team is a million miles away from getting a result. That wasn't the case. If you're honest, it shakes your confidence a little bit, you know, just losing the first 4 to start the season. The group knows that we've got good players. We know we've got a good group. We knew that, you know, healthy players are coming back and new additions are coming in. So that was always there. But what you do on a Monday morning is you talk about it and you go, let's get back to work. This, the only way we get out of this is by everyone digging in, and we work, we fix the problems, we continue to get better, we continue to get fitter. You know, we're going to be in a situation where it's going to be really tough to get into our starting 11. So everyone's earning a spot every single day, you know, and you just approach every week like that. You learn from your mistakes. You know, we made some big defensive mistakes, you know, and you can't do that to win games at the highest level. So you address those problems, but you start the week really positive. Guys, this is a big week of training. We got a good group here. We'll keep working. That's the only way you get yourselves out of these situations. So, you know, it's not the first time it's happened. It's not the first time we've all been in a situation where you just don't know when your next win is going to come from. But I still think, even though there's the confidence was shaken a little bit, I still think there was a really strong belief in this group, and there is. And I think the last three games have shown that.
So let's get into some of the players that were brought in during the offseason then, Watto. And before we concentrate on the bulk of the internal Major League Soccer trades that were done, can you talk us through what it takes to make an internal MLS trade? Is it someone like yourself contacting the other technical director at the opposing club? Does it go through the agent, or is it a bit of both?
Yeah, I would say for internal deals, it's mostly club to club. So it'd be someone like myself speaking to the counterpart at another club. Agents are involved. Agents are probably more involved internationally in terms of getting deals done. It's more challenging with connections. It's more challenging, you know, culturally in terms of how they have expectations of getting deals done. And there's obviously some language issues depending on what country you're dealing with. So, but the internal stuff is mostly club to club. You know, it's a small community. We all know each other, you know, and we talk regularly. So those deals are all club to club for the most part.
Okay. So let's start with some of the players that we've seen a decent chunk of over the course of the first six or seven games. Let's start with Will Trapp, shall we? I think there was an obvious need in that area because of Ozzy Alonso's age. He's not getting any younger. I think the thought moving into it was that he would perhaps play a bit part role. He may play a handful of games here and there. So there was certainly a need in that area. Why Will Trapp, and how was he originally identified?
Yeah, so, the whole position thing is really interesting because we have an incredible amount of talent and depth at that position. We have five players that could play any game and, you know, play at a really high level and win games. Obviously, Ozzy's been, for me, the best player in that position the league has ever seen, but he's 35 and we know that he's not going to be available and at his peak for 34 games. But we felt as a club, it was really important to have Ozzy back. You know, he's been a big part of this club's growth, our albeit short history, but, you know, our vastly and rapidly improving history, you know, and his value isn't necessarily measured just on the field. It's off the field, and it's just having someone of his stature around. So we chose to add another player to that group. And Will Trapp's been around a long time. He's an elite player in the league. He's another captain. You know, we've known him for years and years, you know, primarily with Columbus and some very good teams with Greg Berhalter. He was kind of the linchpin number six, kind of ran the show from that position and then went to Inter Miami. So we knew him well. It was a really easy decision. The one factor that really pushed it forward is Will was a free agent, so he could have gone anywhere with some, you know, new salary restrictions. They have restrictions on free agents, depending on how many years they've been in the league, et cetera. Will wanted to come to us. We were choice number one. So that says a lot about him. That says a lot about where our club is at. And he wanted to come to us. So the deal happened pretty quickly. You know, obviously Adrian is a big fan of the player, you know, and when this was presented to him and we had the discussion, it was a pretty easy discussion. There were some phone calls. You always do your due diligence in terms of just making sure that, you know, what you know and your perception is actually reality. So you call some trusted sources and you do all that type of work behind the scenes. But there it didn't take that long. The message was very consistent. We knew we were getting an elite player at a great age, you know, and we were his club of choice. And that really matters. We really value what we have here. And, you know, players that want to be here, it goes a long way. So, you know, that deal was you know, happened pretty early on. There's certain, you know, timelines and things that guide you through the free agency process, especially someone with that many years in the league. But it was a pretty easy deal. We're signing an elite player and an elite person.
One real quick from me on Will Trapp, Mark, what is your assessment of him thus far? You just named all the attributes of why you wanted him, but what's your assessment of him so far in this group, in this system? And then also, what would you say is his best attribute that he's been able to contribute to Minnesota United? Not just what you've seen from his prior experience, but what he's contributed to this club.
It's a good question. I think, and I won't just say my own opinion, but the kind of consensus in the staff is he was better in so many ways than we thought. You know, he has great leadership. I would say his two strengths are just technical ability, his ability to use the ball, and then tactically how to get on the ball and just understanding, you know, the little tactical situations, the numbers up, you know, opportunities that we want to try and, you know, break lines or move forward. He's very flexible. He's very comfortable playing a defined six, or if we're in a 4-2-3-1, playing with two in central midfield. So, he's a top player, and we haven't been disappointed. We've probably been pleasantly surprised, if we're quite honest. You don't know till you see someone every day. You see them in the locker room. You see their habits in terms of how they approach all the peripheral things, all the the nutritional side, the rehab side, just all the little things, just work in the gym, the prehab. Everyone has individual plans, and he's a consummate pro, and he's been a really big part of this leadership group. So we've been really happy with him. You know, I think he'll get better and better as he's used to the systems we play. We tend to fluctuate between two different systems. And I think his level of play and understanding is only going to improve from here.
I think one thing, Walter, that is unbelievably obvious is the depth that this roster now has, particularly compared to the first couple of years that Minnesota United were in Major League Soccer as well. You added tremendously to the depth with players like Jukka Raitala, Juan Agudelo, and Nico Hansen. How important was it to add players like that to this roster, but also players that had a lot of MLS experience as well?
It's key. I mean, everyone wants the big splash signing, and those were obviously key parts. But the group strength and the group depth, and adding MLS experience and MLS character guys was as important to our offseason roster build. So you look at Jukka Raitala, who can play a bunch of different positions, good player, fantastic pro, been a great fit. And we'll go through that process with all these players, and they don't get the notoriety or the fanfare that some of the other ones do. But these guys are really important, especially when, you have injuries, you have players coming in late, you have, international windows, you have international tournaments in the summer. This is a very, very busy schedule. We delayed the start because of COVID, obviously. Now we're trying to still play the same amount of games and incorporate the same amount of tournaments, minus the US Open Cup, in a really condensed schedule. So we need depth. We need, depth at certain positions, especially knowing that, right now we have the two Finnish players and Jan Gregus with Slovakia at the Euros. We knew these things were coming, so we wanted to adjust accordingly. So we felt we did a really good job with those types of players. We still haven't seen a lot of players that we will, and I think that depth will be shown and exposed even in greater detail as we go along through the summer.
Well, and one of those players with MLS experience is Juan Agudelo. Mm-hmm. When you brought him in, what was the conversation like, or how did he end up here? And also, did you feel maybe there was an extra added motivation that he had something to prove still, knowing he didn't have the greatest of years in Miami in the past season?
Yeah, one of the big we know about Juan. Adrian's a big fan of his and always has been. He worked with him for a couple of weeks when he was in Orlando, so had a firsthand experience of, him as a player, his qualities, and him as a person as important as anything. So that was a big motivator. We wanted someone to supplement the final group, and some of the players weren't in yet. So it was maybe hard to see the bigger picture in terms of of adding him. And Juan, unfortunately, Juan's had some injury issues, so we haven't seen the best of him yet. He's not really had a good run of games or a good run of training to get to his level. But he's back training now, and you know, the blessing in disguise of the 2 week break. I don't think anyone wants to take a 2 week break, but you know, we will now have a much fitter, sharper Juan Agudelo, as well as others, you know, coming into our next run of games. So I think Juan will be, you know, one player especially that will really benefit from this, you know, look at it 2.5 weeks of training and games and additional fitness to get himself to the level we know he can get to.
Whilst we're on the subject of depth, Watto, one thing that we've noticed from the outside is that the squad's got a lot younger as well. And you've added a lot of young players into the core. And because of the size of the roster, it's now given you the ability to be able to loan out a couple of the younger players for them to get first team experience. Callum Montgomery, Nabil Akibaguchi have just gone out to US. And also Thomas Chacon has gone out on loan to Uruguay as well. How key is that for their development, not only for them personally, but for the football club as well?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's important for any club. The roster is set up to promote that. You know, there's some new mechanisms coming into place with the DP / young DP / YPS kind of mechanisms, and how we as a club want to approach that situation. You know, I think we looked at our roster in general and thought we need to get a little bit younger moving forward. So, we hope to continue to get academy players in. We hope to still do well in the draft. But there was a big push to try and find, you know, the next wave of Hassani Dotsons and Chase Gaspers and Dane St. Clair. So we feel really good about the young kids. Just looking at my board here. So we feel, you know, if I just look at the draft, we added Nabi Kibanguchi and we added Justin McMaster. We think they have really bright futures. The one thing we haven't been doing right now is getting them enough games. I'll throw Callum Montgomery in. We picked him up in a trade from Dallas. We have Foster Langsdorf. We signed Aziel Jackson to a homegrown deal, as well as Patrick Weah. So we feel we have a really talented young group of kids. It's just a matter of, you know, can we, you know, improve them in training, but as importantly, improving in games. And it's, you know, eventually when we have our own second team and there's a lot of discussions, you know, in terms of a macro point of view, in terms of what the league is doing in that regard. But it's so important to get them games. You know, we always, and this is, you know, globally discussed, you know, a player needs 30 games a year to really develop, because you can do well in training, you can do well being at the club and being in our environment, but ultimately you need to play games. So I don't think we'll get to 30 with any of these players, you know, but it's important they get out now having, you know, 6 weeks of the season gone by. They need to play games. So we, you know, we've had a lot of interest in our players. We wanted to make sure that they were going into somewhere where there was an expectation to play and they can get the minutes to grow and also the minutes to get fit, that if and when they do come back, they're able to jump into the first team and, you know, and be fit and sharp and at least be in a position to impress and potentially play more. You know, sometimes all these kids need is an opportunity to play. They do well, the team wins, and then their career is off and running. So, you know, it's challenging to get them all out on loan into good situations. But we think we've done that. And, you know, we assume they'll come back fitter, sharper, and improved players. And, you know, looking forward to getting their opportunity in the first team.
I was just going to ask you that about sort of how the decision-making process comes out of where each player is going and what benefits you versus what benefits the club they're being loaned to. And then also when you're looking at the players that aren't going out on loan and are staying, but maybe not getting a ton of minutes because it's a necessity of the roster that you guys need and the depth you need, like a Justin McMaster who played a bit in the start of the season but hasn't played as much of late. How do you try to balance that for a young player like that and his development, where you can't send him on a loan because you need him here, but you know he's also not getting the game minutes?
Right. It's a good question. So there's a really fine balance. We obviously need to make sure the first team is the priority. The first team squad is important. You know, we can now name 20 players to a match day roster. We need to make sure we're covered on that. The one thing we had now, and why most of the players are going on loan now. We wanted them with the first team. We wanted them, you know, to learn the way we do things. But with a 2-week break, we thought this was a great opportunity for these kids to go out and start playing. When they come back is something that we will determine relative to, you know, the health of the squad, making sure we're covered on a match day. But this was to get them games, to get them started. You know, the rules per MLS and USL, they can only go to one club a year. So those clubs were handpicked in terms of, you know, the club, the city, the tactics, the coach, and a reasonable expectation to play. You know, we're not sending these players just to make up the numbers. You know, we wouldn't necessarily say you have to play because we want the situation to be real and them, you know, earning their spot, so to speak. But there is still a pretty strong expectation to play. This club has to, you know, like the player and have a need for that position. So it's there's a lot that goes into it. You know, but we felt this was the right time to, you know, given the lack of games in the next couple of weeks, to start a lot of these loan spells for our young guys and young games.
How does that work then, Walter, in terms of you send, let's say, for example, Kibunguchi on loan to Sacramento? I'm assuming the location of the loan was important as well. Kibunguchi obviously has spent a lot of time around Sacramento Republic and, yeah, and seems to be fairly comfortable. So I wonder how, yeah, important location is. But also, are there limitations? You know, you mentioned before that you can send Kibunguchi on loan to Sacramento. If there is a need, you can bring him back. Can, right, you keep going back and forth, or is there a limitation?
So that's an interesting question. I'm going to leave the going back and forth one for now, because there's some interesting kind of changes this year. The one thing we are aware of is the COVID situation. Last year, you know, we had to be aware of the quarantine side. In the end, they shut down all loans unless it was your own second team. This year, we're allowed to bring the players back, and it all depends on if they've been vaccinated or not and the quarantine stuff. So it's a lot easier this year, but we basically monitor everything relative to the first team. So all these players have gone out on loan. You know, there's different situations for different players, but the expectation would be to stay as long as possible unless we need them back here. So we basically reevaluate every week. You know, if a player is vaccinated, there's actually no quarantine, so we don't have to be very conscious of that. If a player wasn't vaccinated, we would have to be aware enough to bring them back 5 days prior to, so they could serve a quarantine. So there's a lot going on. Every situation is different. To just touch on the Nabi situation, he you know, lived very close to Sacramento. He trained with them. He knew the coach. That was a really easy one. They requested him. You know, they said he would play. You know, he was very familiar with the situation. So we thought that was a good fit for him. I mean, we have a good relationship with their coach. We like how he runs his club. We know how he approaches things tactically. So that was a really good fit. But every situation is different. It's the club. It's the city. It's have they been vaccinated. It's there's just so many things that go into place. And we want to make sure it's a good situation for our players to play and develop. That's the real core objective.
Okay. Talking of good areas for players to play, Minnesota United seems now to be able to attract players from overseas much easier than they used to be able to as well. So let's get really into some of the bigger signings that have come in, shall we, Watson, over the course of the last couple of months. Let's start with one that is full of intrigue in Adrien Unu. This is somebody who I know for a fact you've been looking at for a long time, maybe even for over a year. I remember talking to Amos McGee, who had said that he had gone and scouted him and had a look at him when he was playing in Ligue 1. Why him? Why Unu? And what were the key components that you thought would make him a real benefit to Minnesota United on the field, and then also the deal off the field as well, because we know there was some money spent on this individual as well.
Yeah, so good question. I'll go back to the beginning. We've had him on our radar for 3+ years. So Adrian Huhn is a really interesting player. He is as versatile as they get in terms of an attacking player. Our initial interest in him was playing at a high level, scoring goals on a very regular basis. But more than anything, we felt from a really early point in time, he would be a great fit for our group. And what I mean by that is he's a fantastic kid. He's an incredible professional. He has as much running in him as, I've seen in any player. And to touch on the versatility, he can play anywhere across the front, and he has scored goals from any one of those positions. So, he just attracted us in all those calls. We've watched him for 3 years. We were very close to signing him last year. He was in the last year of his contract. So he potentially would have been a free transfer last summer. So I went over to France to meet him, to watch him play, and to see if we could get that deal over the line. In the end, he re-signed with Rennes. He's an incredibly popular player there, the most popular player at Rennes. He didn't start every game. I would say he started 1 in 2 or 1 in 3. But if you look at a club like Rennes, and some people don't know the name, it's not a PSG, it's not a Marseille, it's not a Monaco, but it is a really big club. And if you look at some of the players that are there, some of the players they've sold on, the strength of their youth academy, it's a really impressive club. So he's at a really high level. They buy players for a lot of money, expecting them to double or triple their money and sell them to the Premier League. They have Camavinga now, a young midfielder who will probably go between 80 and 100 million euros or pounds to Real Madrid, PSG, Barcelona. That's the type of club they have. They bought a striker for 20 something million. They expect to sell him for 35 million. So we're talking at a really elite level. If Adrian Huhn was playing every game, we wouldn't have access to him. We thought, and he has some similarities to Reynoso in terms of, him and his status at a really big club. But what we saw time and time again, whether he was starting, whether he was coming off the bench, he is a goal scorer. And as much as we're looking for the goals, and that's the key thing, he's coming here to score goals. The way he goes about it, the defensive work that he does to win the ball back in good areas to then score goals, the type of person he is, he's an unbelievable professional. And the caveat to all this, he wants to be here, and that's something that it really matters. We touched on it with Will Trapp. This is something that he has wanted for 2.5 years, to come play in Minnesota. And that means a lot to us. So, we feel he can score goals as a 9. He's a false 9. He can play any of the wide positions, and he can play, I wouldn't say a 10, but I would say a second striker. So someone that can work off a number 9. So if we have a number 9 in the roster that we feel is doing really well, he's very complimentary to him playing either side as well.
Also, didn't he, and apologies for the interruption, didn't he walk into the manager's office then and say, that's it, I want to go to Minnesota, I can't wait around anymore?
So he did. And I can tell you the only reason he is here today is because of his, stance he took with his club. So I'll give you a little bit of detail and put it in perspective. He's wanted to be here for a long time. We've been in contract through different people. We don't contact the player directly. So this is in early January, and we had a fairly substantial list of number 9s and wide players and attacking players that we felt would be good fits in our system. We got in touch with Adrian saying, this is a possibility, and he said straight away, I want to be in Minnesota. And I can't tell you the depth of kind of him extending himself to do what he did to get this deal over the line. So this is his boyhood club. He is literally a hero at their stadium. He is being from the academy, he is someone that they absolutely love. He's been there a long time. He scored a lot of goals, and he's got a lot of loyalty to the club. But he basically went in and said, you know, listen, I want to go to Minnesota. I don't want to be here anymore. You know, please let me go. There was still a deal that had to be negotiated, and we had some rough terms on that. But he basically put his neck on the line and said, you know, I want to leave and I want to go to Minnesota. So it took months. We were in a fortunate position, and not that we didn't want our roster set by, you know, everyone being there from the first day of preseason. We did. We certainly wanted everyone in for the first game of the season. But we had the luxury of FIFA extended our transfer window till June 1st. So we knew that, you know, we had a little bit of time. We would have then got a fairly fit player, as long as we could get it done before June 1st. So it was back and forth. Ren changed coaches after about a couple of months, you know, but he very systematically went in, you know, once a week and said, I want to leave the club, you know. And over time, it basically got to the point where that's what's happened. And, you know, it's a really big deal for him to do that. His playing time significantly diminished once he did that. You know, he would have been seen as a player that wasn't committed to the cause. They had a little slide that took him out of the, you know, the European spots. And that's what that club's aspirations are, to be in Europe, whether it's the Champions League or the Europa League. You know, and he was now seen as still a club hero by the supporters, but by administration as someone that didn't want to be there because he wants to be in Minnesota. So, you know, it was a really big deal for him. He really stuck his neck on the line. If things didn't go well, he would have been in a really tough spot. So I can't tell enough about, you know, him, the process he went through, and just the character of this kid and his desire to be here. And all those things combined, we know we've got a really good one for the long term.
And Waddle, moving on to another player that came in nearly at the same time as Unu, is Franco Fragopane. And I think you've probably realized in this role of yours now how every single deal is so different and how it involves and who you're working with and the hoops that you have to jump through. And we can talk about Avila as well, but talk to us a little bit about Fragopane and how that went down. And now it was the opposite. They were playing him as much as they could before they allowed him to come here, which was the complete opposite of a new situation.
Yeah. So the similarity between the two, and the similarities ended pretty quickly, but he is another player. He was at Talleres in Argentina. They didn't want to let him go. That was the core of this. And neither did Ren with Adrian Nunu. These are really good players. You know, Fragopane was their best player, and they didn't want to let him go. But I'll back up a little bit in terms of, he's another player that we have a long history with, at least in terms of us knowing about him. I saw him play a couple years ago when he was playing for Union, another club in the Argentine First Division. And he was, but you know, heads and tails, the best player on the field. Really technical, really explosive, played wide left, but coming inside on his dominant right foot. Good pace and movement and kind of tactical understanding to get past people. Good 1v1, has really good goal scoring instincts. But more than anything, a relentless runner, you know, and he is 90 minutes of work and fight and energy, similar to Adrian Hanou. So, you know, he's been someone very, very high on our list for a long time. So now we looked at him as someone that can also play multiple positions. He could play, I wouldn't say he's a nine or a false nine. He's more of a wide player, most comfortable on the left, coming in on his right side. That was a position of need for us coming out of the off season. We lost a player in that position. So, you know, this is a very kind of clear positional need. And we thought he'd be a great fit. He's a good kid. You know, and we've watched him for 2.5 years, and every time he plays the same way. Getting into the deal, and just so you know, I had no gray hair before the start of this deal. So these have just come in the past couple months. So they didn't want to let him go. The negotiations took a long time. There was a lot of twists and turns. You know, I think there was some gamesmanship involved. I think a lot of it had to do with we don't want our best player to go right now. We want to keep him for a little bit longer. We're competing in the Argentine League. We're competing in Copa Sudamericana. So, you know, it took some time. We had an agreement that the player could continue to play until he received his visa at the U.S. Embassy in Buenos Aires. That took a little longer. Some of the paperwork took a little longer. Some other things took a little bit longer. So it was a challenge. He's here now. He's fit and healthy, and we think he's going to make a really big impact. Another character guy. I spoke about all his qualities. You know, we think he's going to be a massive upgrade and going to be a really big part of our, you know, our core group moving forward. We signed him for 3.5 years, so he's here for the long term.
About the other one that you brought in as well, in Ramon Avila, not quite as difficult to prize him away. I think Miguel Angel Russo and in particular Juan Román Riquelme were looking elsewhere. What was behind bringing in Ramon Avila from such a big club, a club that you've already dealt with in Boca Juniors? You had a prior relationship with them after the Reynoso deal, but what were the dealings in terms of bringing somebody like Avila in who has scored goals at a very, very high level?
Yeah, so, I mean, this was a completely different deal. You know, and we've all been in a COVID world for a long time now. So there was, up until the past, you know, couple months, there was no scouting. But Ramon Avila is a known quantity. I did see him play for Boca Juniors when I was down a couple previous times. You know, he was, essentially he's the number one goal scorer in Argentina the past 4 years. He's, you know, roughly 40 goals in 80 games. So he's a known quantity. He's 31 years old, so he's a little bit older. And the deal came about pretty quickly. We had, you know, some other players we were looking at. Some of those deals didn't happen, or all those deals didn't happen for various reasons. For the most part, financially was the core of it. So we're now looking for a player that can play number nine and add to our depth in that position. And, you know, we heard about his availability. We weren't able to, you know, scout him in a conventional way and see him play and go meet him and do all the due diligence that we would normally try and do. You know, we weren't able to get into Argentina. So it was a lot of Y Scout work. And the deal came about fairly quickly. You know, we felt comfortable with his past. We felt comfortable with his, I mean, even the analytics were incredibly impressive on him in terms of, you know, goal production and kind of, you know, combining assists and goals in the Argentine first division. He was rated number one. So we did as much work as we could have given COVID, you know, and added him to the group. I don't think he's hit full stride yet. You know, I think he did have some groin problems and a surgery in January. So Ramon has not hit his peak yet, but you know, he's an elite goal scorer, was at Boca Juniors for a long time and played and did really well at a very, very high level. You know, he scored a big goal for us at home against to win our first game at home. So I think his goal scoring ability is there for everyone to see. And we think there's better things ahead for Ramon.
Yeah, let's hope so. Looking forward to seeing how much Ramon Avila develops here at Minnesota. Okay, well, let's start to wind things down here, shall we, Walter? And I would love to ask you about international football. As far as I'm aware, outside of Europe, Minnesota United have more players at the Euros than anybody else. I think that's correct. I've done a couple of bits of research, and I'm fairly certain that's correct. Okay. First of all, how much does that mean to you as the technical director of the football club? And also, how excited are you for Robin Lourdes, Jukka Raitala, and Jan Gregus?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to argue on the stats, Cal. I know you do your work, and I'll believe you on that. But, you know, it's maybe a testament to our club and where we're at, having players at this level, you know, competing at the top level of international football. So we're really excited for those. The one thing I will say about the international players, and it's a little bit of a conundrum. It's certainly a fine balance. you know, you want the best players at your club. Quite often those players are international, but we have to find a situation where we have the right amount of international players. So when they do have these tournaments, when they have these international windows, that we're still able to compete and not decimate our club too much. I think we do have that balance. And now we're looking at, you know, three of our players going to play in the Euros, which, you know, it's maybe not the level of the World Cup, but especially in Europe, it's just a shade under. And we're very proud of these guys. They're big achievements for both clubs, for Finland and Slovakia. I don't know how many tournaments each country has been in. You probably know that because you're a big stat guy. But I think for these players and their respective countries to be in the Euros is a massive achievement. And it's a huge reflection on our club as well. You know, it shows that we have good players. We are, you know, playing those players at a very high level and improving those players. And that's something we want to be known for. So we'll be watching Slovakia and Finland's games very avidly. The whole group will, you know, and we wish them well. We will miss them for games. We think 2 to 3 games, depending on how they do. If they make it all the way, then it's more games. So we'll miss them on those, but there's a big supporter section here for both of those players and both of those clubs at the Euros.
And I want to talk about Dane St. Clair too, Mark, in a second, but how important is it to have good relationships with those coaches from those international, from those national teams? So you're trying to balance what's a friendly, what's important, what should they miss? I know you guys never want to turn down an opportunity for these guys to represent their country, but how important is it to have those good relationships?
You know, it's really important. As much to stay on top of, you know, how they do things, you know, every player has a really specific kind of plan they adhere to. So we want a seamless transition and a real, real extensive knowledge base when those players go into, you know, a different club, a different camp, a different way of doing business. So the connection is important. In terms of the international windows, when it's an international window, we really don't have a choice. We have to release the player on the first day, whether it's the Sunday or the Monday after their games. Some of the tournaments that aren't FIFA sanctioned necessarily connecting to international windows, we don't. So that's when relationships come into place. You know, certain times it's better for a player to stay with us. Other times it's maybe preferred to go play with them. So those are the situations where the personal relationship really helps. You know, and we can have a discussion and really look at the facts and what is best for the player. The countries always want the player. They're, you know, they want to win games. Their jobs are on the line. But we obviously want to, you know, protect the best interests of Minnesota United. We have great relationships with all the countries, you know, and we haven't had any major issues. So we're fortunate with that, you know, and we're very supportive of the international tournaments and qualifying games. You know, it's the highest honor to represent your country. You know, we had the ability to see Hassani Dotson go to the Olympic qualifiers with the U.S. We had Callum Montgomery go for Canada. So those are big opportunities. Neither team qualified, unfortunately, so that was disappointing. But and those are tournaments we didn't have to let the players go. But we're a club that really, unless it's extreme circumstances, would never stand in the way of any player and their international future.
Well, and speaking of that, with Dane St. Clair away with the Canadian men's national team for their World Cup qualifiers, they've had a couple games. I saw Dane played the 90 minutes the other day. What do you make of his development and him going and representing his country? And then also just the mental, maybe mindset you saw him head off with the national team, knowing that now he's not currently the starter of the club here. How does that maybe change his swagger and his confidence, or didn't it?
Dane's a pretty confident guy. I don't think anyone's going to knock down his confidence, but no, we're very happy to see him get the start against Aruba. I mean, your debut for your country, you know, it's not the toughest opponent. So we expected a win. I don't know if he had any shots on goal. So, but a clean sheet in your debut for your country is a big moment. We're very bullish on Dane and his future, you know, and we feel we have a unique situation here. We have two really high level starting goalkeepers, and it doesn't get spoken about much, but the players that are underneath them, Adrian Zendejas and Fred Emmings, we've got two fantastic goalkeepers improving and, you know, pushing them for spots down the road. So you know, but in terms of Dane and Tyler Miller, you know, it's a great situation to have because we have two players that have the complete confidence of the staff and the club. It's a great battle for them in terms of who's going to play. Dane played the first four games. Then Tyler's played the last three, you know, and we're very fortunate. We have two elite goalkeepers at the club. You know, competition for places is high. So I think, you know, when someone's playing, the pressure is to, you know, train and play at a high level and help your team win games, or there's someone looking over your shoulder and, you know, can't wait to be in that spot. So, in terms of depth, we have, you know, off the charts depth in terms of the goalkeeper position, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. Tyler's doing really well. The team's winning. And we'll see how it plays out for the rest of the season.
Wonderful. Also, before we let you go, one final question. To my knowledge, the secondary MLS transfer window opens July 7th. Is that of particular interest to you or to Minnesota United? Do you expect any sort of activity?
So you are correct. Once again, Callan, your dates. Yeah, July 7th through August 5th. We will probably have the shortest break ever between transfer windows because the last transfer window just ended June 1st. So what is that? A month and spent 6 days. You know, we have a pretty full roster right now, you know, but I will say we're always looking to get better, you know. So we have, you know, a running kind of perpetual list of players at every position. They're constantly being vetted in terms of availability, in terms of cost, in terms of, you know, are they the right player for our system? You know, that's something we do throughout the year. There's not a lot of club football going on right now, but our scouting will change to, you know, certain countries that are still playing and also the international game. So if something does come up during that time frame, and we think it's going to help the club get better, whether it's, you know, just the quality of the player, whether it's planning for the future, you know, we are a salary cap league. We always have to be very mindful of that. A lot of times it drives our decision-making. You know, we will in 2022 go into another year where they will have not raised the salary cap. So that'll be 3 years on the bounce. That in itself is a big challenge. Players' contracts go up anywhere between 3% and, you know, 15 to 20%, depending. So that all has to be factored in. So that's a long answer to a pretty simple question. We will be aware of what's going on and potentially active if the right situation presents itself.
Wonderful. Mark Watson, Technical Director of Minnesota United, thank you very much for your time. Really, really appreciate it. My thanks to Kindra D. St. Aubin, our producer, Tyson Hill, and of course to you, the listener, for listening as well. Remember, as always, for all the latest, keep it right here on MNUFC.com.